Jay Unger and Molly Mason are my guests today. Harry's going to be in. We're going to be hearing from Milt Kamen. We've got... Let's see, what else we got? What do we got? Gee, I really don't know. Oh, yeah, Ralph Harris. Ralph Harris and... Well, we're going to start off with the Quarrymen, spelled Q-W-O-R-Y-M-E-N. This is the Beatle rap. From Tales from the Rhino. It's a two-disc series. So, disc one is all the novelty records. Not all the novelty records that Rhino's put out, Rhino Records, but some of their favorites, I suppose. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. I know I didn't mention that. If you're tuning in, you don't know what's going on. Hey, man. Hey, man. This is Knock on Wood, man. Let's listen to wonderful impersonations of the Beatles.
Hello, lads. Why don't we do a Buddy Holly number?
You know my name. Look up the number.
Number nine, number nine.
What a shame Mary Jane had a pain at the party.
I've just seen a face and it's Ringo's.
Well, my name is Ringo and that ain't lingo, cause I'm the greatest star. Well, I ain't no bummer, I'm a hummer of a drummer and I've gone pretty far. I've got a yellow sub and a caveman's club to beat on all my skins. I even got me a magic Christian to pardon all my sins. I got a bird named Bach who loves to rock. She's a woman who understands that if she ever left me, I'd have to get me a load in my heart's club band. Now I'd like to introduce you all to a lad who's on the ball. He plays bass with a lot of taste and he goes by the name of Paul. Take it away, Polly. This is your grandfather then. It's very clean.
Ringo, we'll call you.
I'll be out parading then.
Well, my name is Paul and I do it all, like write and sing and play. But for all me money, it might be funnier so long for yesterday. Now, I might have a smile that's longer than a mile, but don't think it's all been fun. I've been arrested for drugs, mobbed and mugged, and had a band that's on the run, you see. I've been thrown in jail, gotten hate mail, even told that I was dead. Had herds of birds threaten me life, just cause I wanted to wed, you see. Now I'd like to introduce you to a man who found the Lord. He plays a mean sitar, rhythm guitar, and he goes by the name of George. George, hey, we'll let you sing one now.
I'll sing if you want me to sing, and I won't sing if you don't want me to sing. Well, I just might be the baby of the bunch, but I'm also the most hip. From the Maharishi to Hare Krishna, I started every trip.
What's he talking
Hari,
about?
Hari, oh bloody, oh blada. Yeah, yeah, let it be, let it be. La 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 la. Hey Jude, love is all you need. My sweet, he's so fine. I did it all, they just never give me any credits.
Alright lad, your time's up.
Ooh, now let me introduce you to the chap who takes no crap. His name is John and he's going on because he still likes to rap. Hey John, no bebop or lulas, alright, we gotta do the real thing this time.
Fair enough.
Okay, you ready?
Aye.
Alright, here's Johnny.
Well, my name is John and I'm always on and I'm speaking with my voice. I write rock and pop and my head's a mop, I've got a psychedelic Rolls Royce for sale. Now they called me local when I married Yoko, but she's a gal who's on the beam. She buys a sack of potatoes, throws out the potatoes and hides inside and screams. You're an eggplant, the sister's an aunt, I want to jump up your nose. I love New York City, my Aunt Mimi, and worth it rhyme with orange. What a load of rubbish. I can't believe this. Who wrote this thing?
Don't you remember we did, John?
You know, we used to be fab and gear and stuff like that. What's going on? We reformed for this.
I remember when we used to make good records. Good to you too. And to you, and to you,
and to me, and everyone here, all together now.
All right, I did the record, but I don't want to play live. Has anybody seen the old brown shoes?
Oh, they've put me in the movies, haven't they?
Anybody want to buy some Littos?
Signed.
Scrambled eggs.
Well done, the Quarrymen, spelled Q-W-O-R-Y-M-E-N, which was the original names of the Beatles many, many, many years ago. We're waiting for Jay Unger, Molly Mason. Harry's here, though.
Right, Steve, because now it's time for an untrue facts segment.
Turn off that music.
What?
We have got... We went over this a few weeks ago.
What?
Turn it off!
I'm sorry, okay. What?
That music is reserved for strange facts, which are true facts.
I'm sorry, I just like this music.
No.
Okay, time for untrue facts. All these facts are guaranteed to be untrue.
All right, what's the first one?
Okay. Even though the sun looks small in the sky, you know, about as big as your thumbnail, in truth, the sun is very large. It's about as big as a house!
A house? Harry, the sun is much, much larger than that.
I didn't say what kind of house. Even, you know, it's like a mansion!
The sun is so big that a million Earths could fit in it.
Yeah, right!
I'm serious.
Wait, don't stop it. Get real. A million Earths. What's the matter with you? The reason why the Earth looks small in the sky, by the way, is because it's far away. It's about, what? I don't know. It's a far away. It's like 500-600 miles away from us. You know, about the distance from, you know, New York City to Cleveland.
Harry, the sun is 97 million miles from the Earth.
Why don't you stop kidding around? 97 million miles. Who's going to believe that? You're just being silly. 97 million miles. You're funny, Steve. Now, actually, the sun is just one of many stars in the universe. Figure there are at least maybe, I don't know, like maybe 1,000 other stars in the known universe.
There are 1 billion stars just in our galaxy, and there are 1 billion galaxies in the universe.
All right. Where are you getting this information?
From astronomers.
You'd think they'd have something better to do than sit around and make up stories to fool the unsuspecting public. Boy, do those astronomers have wild imaginations. Imagine 1 billion times 1 billion. Wow! They like to goof around, don't they, Steve? All right, now here's another item. The Earth is very old. It's, so I would say, at least 10,000 years old.
Try 5 billion years old.
I'm trying to be serious here, and you insist on being silly. And usually I'm the one who messes up this segment. Steve, nothing can be 5 billion years old. Think about how old that is. You can't, so stop being a nut. Okay. What, me? Okay, I'll tell you what. Maybe it's 15,000 years old, okay? There, are you happy? Have we reached a compromise?
The universe itself is about 15 billion years old.
Yeah, right. Just let me do this, okay? Without you. Now, atoms are very, very small. In one grain of sand, you could fit about 5 atoms. That's how teeny tiny they are. You can barely see them.
Harry, atoms are so small that about 1 billion fit in a grain of sand.
Will you stop at 1 billion? 1 billion this, 1 billion that. What's the matter with you today?
That's how small an atom is. I'm sorry. And if you split one atom, you get a huge explosion.
Bigger than a firecracker?
Big enough to blow up a city. That's what happened to Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Hold on. You're telling me that an atom is so small that it's 1 billion times smaller than a grain of sand. And if you split it open, you could blow up a whole city.
That's right.
Man, are you a nut. We think of some wild routines on this show, Steve, but this one takes the cake. You are imaginative, but even you have topped yourself this time.
It's the truth.
Yeah. How are you going to take an itsy-bitsy atom and split it? With a knife?
No, through a fusion process. A nuclear reactor takes millions of dollars and is a machine that's huge.
To split a particle that's 1 billion times smaller than a grain of sand.
That's right.
I'm not doing this anymore. If you're not going to be serious, then there's no reason for me to go on.
But it's the truth.
Can we change the subject here?
Okay.
The speed of light is very fast. It goes, what? I don't know, about 1,000 miles an hour. That's how fast light is.
Harry, light goes 186,000 miles a second.
Uh-huh. Just have your fun. And it's the scientist who told you this too, right?
That's right.
And what else have they told you? The little green men have invaded the planet. Are you hearing voices also, Steve?
I'm just telling you how fast light travels.
How can something go that fast? It's impossible. That's back and forth across America 30 times in 1 second.
That's right.
Forget it, man. I'm not doing this anymore.
Thank you. Rolls here.
That's me. I'm here. What a good theme song, wasn't it? Rolls here. Really got me going. I really enjoyed that television series, and we've got some of the most enjoyable songs from the series here, ready for you to sing along with them and enjoy yourselves. And just a minute. I had a sudden thought. Are you hungry? That's a crazy thought, but I thought you might like some boiled beef and carrots. When I was a nipper, only 6 months old, me mother and me father too, they didn't know what to wean me on. They were both in a dreadful stew. They thought a tripe, they thought a steak, or a little bit of old cod's roe. Says I pop round to the old cook shop, I know what'll make me grow. Boiled beef and carrots, boiled beef and carrots. That's the stuff for your Darby Kell. It makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarians on food they give to parrots. From morn till night, blow out your kite on boiled beef and carrots. Now I'm the father of a lovely pair of nippers, and they're both fat boys. They're twins, you can't tell which is which, like a pair of Savoy's. Now we had them christened in the week, when the parson took them on his knee. Says I, as they both got ginger hair, I want their names to be boiled beef and carrots, boiled beef and carrots. That's the stuff for your Darby Kell. It makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarians on food they give to parrots. From morn till night, blow out your pipe on boiled beef and carrots. And again, boiled beef and carrots. Ho, boiled beef and carrots. That's the stuff for your Darby Kell. It makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarians on food they give to parrots. From morn till night, blow out your pipe on boiled beef and carrots.
Jay Younger and Molly Mason here on Knock on Wood.
Yeah,
boy, it is so much fun. I always love when you guys come on the show.
We like to be here.
Good, good. You used to come on a lot. Then you became like real famous. Now it's harder.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get you again coming on the way down.
There, right.
This might be it. You never know.
Not yet. You two have been doing so well for yourselves. First of all, Jay wrote the Civil War theme, which sort of started everything.
And it's called Ashokan Farewell.
Let me point this out. Wait, before you start, I have a bone to pick with you.
Please.
Uh-huh. I saw you at the Woodstock Church a couple of weeks ago, and I know I've seen you a few times. So you always talk about how the Civil War theme from the PBS series.
Right.
I am never given credit that at least a year before the Civil War theme came out from the PBS series, it was my theme.
That's right.
On Follow the River on WAMC.
Mention that in advance of the Civil War.
First it was on Follow the River, then he probably heard it. I bet you he lives in the listening area, right?
It's possible.
He probably heard it from my show. Ken Burns heard it, and then he said, I got to use that for the Civil War.
So we all owe all this great success to you.
Exactly.
Using it on your radio show.
That's what I needed to hear. Okay, now let's get back to business.
The reason I mentioned the name was that it's named after a region in the Catskills where we live.
Mm-hmm.
We live right by the Ashokan Reservoir, which is the water that is over the town of Ashokan, which is submerged since they made the reservoir.
Yeah.
But we're going to play a tune, a fiddle tune that I had written many years before that, after having a kind of disappointing experience. I saw an ad in the paper for a 100-acre farm for $2,000 in the Catskills. And I drove way out into the center of the Catskills where this farm was and found out that it was a 2-acre farm for $100,000. It was a little backwards.
Ooh,
it was a misprint.
Yeah.
And when I got home, I picked the fiddle up, and instead of writing a lament, like Ashokan Farewell, I wrote a little more vindictive sort of fiddle tune. So here it is. It's called Catskill Mountain Goose Chase.
Thank you.
I can see you doing it. Running around.
Goose is flying.
Yeah. Thank you. Jay Unger, Molly Mason here on Knock on Wood. Thanks again.
If you do go out to Los Angeles, by all means, you should go to Disneyland. That's the wonderful place that Khrushchev wanted to go. Remember? They wouldn't let him. He cried and he yelled. They wouldn't let him go. So I went. I want to feel superior to somebody. And if you go out to Disneyland, you'll see all the different rides they have there for kids. And they also have something else. They have a theater there, Walt Disney's True Life Adventure Theater. They show all the movies that Walt Disney made. You know, like how the animals live in the desert, how they live in the North Pole, live in different places, how moose get together. You know, I didn't have to see that either. I'm not a kid anymore, you know. But they showed something there. They showed a bee making honey. And the camera was close up on the bee, and a little ugly bee, you know, with a million eyes there. And the bee knew it was being watched, so it became like hot stuff and very arrogant, you know, like, you want to see honey? You know, the hard way, backwards. And, you know, you feel terrible. You say, look at that ugly little bee makes honey. Yeah, I'm a nice-looking person, you know, and all I can do is make a little wax with my ears. That's all, you know. And when you leave the theater, over the soundtrack comes a voice saying, yes, animals and insects are far superior to human beings. And they will take over the world because they don't have to think. Their instincts are perfect. And I'm not one to argue with science, but I just want to say that they're not right. I saw a flying grasshopper last year in Central Park. I was hiding behind a tree. Well, that's personal. That's nothing to do with it. I was there anyhow. And I saw a flying grasshopper, and the flying grasshopper took off. It flew great. I'm not criticizing that part. Flew good, the grasshopper. But when it came in for landing, it tripped. And I laughed. I said, hey! I'm not the nicest person in the world. But I said, you'll not take over this world. Nothing. You fly, but you can't land, you know. And it turns out that, for instance, did you know that there are hundreds of birds among all the millions, hundreds of birds that don't fly good? A lot of them don't fly good. They have agoraphobia or something. They have terrific fear of heights. And sometimes you hear them flying over the ocean, you know, help! I'm falling, you know. They're not good flyers. It can happen. I myself am not the best walker, you know. Sometimes I lose the whole technique. I forget. I say, oh, but it comes back. One, two, three, and I get it, you know. But when you're going down flying, boy, you're finished. You know. I can't fly. I don't say that. But I walk all right. And do you ever hear the legend, all tigers walk softly in the jungle? It's not true. Not all tigers. A lot of tigers don't know what they're doing in the jungle. They're maladjusted. They walk around. They make a lot of noise. And they say, what is this? Like a jungle here. What is it? You know. And they get pimples all over. They're all sickly. They don't know what they are. And they stagger over to the other tiger and say, how do you walk soft? Right away, the other tiger say, well, you can't acquire that, you know. But, of course, the worst place of all, from our winter, we know how cold 10 above is. In the North Pole, it's 50 degrees below zero. You know how cold that is? That's ice cold. And every once in a while, one of the polar bears realizes this. And he goes up to the other polar bear and says, what are we doing here? It's freezing cold! Why here? Why not Miami Beach? So they say, well, go in the water. He says, I was in that water. It's colder yet. And they say, look warm, look warm. There's the Walt Disney cameras. Look warm, look warm.
Milt Kamen. Never thought he got the credit that he deserved. Did well. He was a television writer. I think he wrote for Jonathan Winters for a number of years. That's from an old album called Here's Milt Kamen. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Jay Unger and Molly Mason have left. Harry's back. Got a little time up. You know what might be nice?
What, Steve?
Why don't you recite some Mother Goose rhymes for the kids?
Boring!
Come on. There's some younger listeners out there I think would be nice.
Right.
Start with Little Miss Muffet.
All right. Here goes. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider and sat down beside her. So she ate the spider too.
That's terrible! Now do another one and don't fool around.
All right. Sorry. Mary had a little lamb with some French fries and a salad.
That is disgusting!
Hey, what's your problem? She was hungry, man!
All right, can you do Jack Sprat and don't mess it up, please?
All right. Here we go. Jack Sprat could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. And so betwixt them both, they helped Mary eat the lamb.
They licked the platter clean!
Well, what do you think was on the platter?
That is so tasteless.
No, it was very tasty. I had a bite myself.
You know, you're running out of chances here.
All right. I'll do little Jack Horner.
Good. Don't mess that up, okay? There are no pets in it, so there should be no problem.
Gotcha. There it goes. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner, eating his Christmas pie. He put in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "Darn, I wish this was lamb."
You know you're cruising for a bruising.
All right. No more lamb.
Thank you. Why don't you do Old Mother Hubbard?
Sure, okay. Old Mother Hubbard. Here we go. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone. But when she got there, the cupboard was bare. So she ate the dog instead.
Will you stop that?
She was starving, man. The cupboard was bare. What else was she going to do?
I don't want you doing anymore.
All right, one more.
All right.
Okay, there goes. Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye, 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. When the pie was open, the birds began to sing, at least until the king ate them all.
That's it. No more. I'm getting tired of you having all the characters eat their animals.
One more, Steve, please. Just one more.
What am I going to do with you?
Little Bo Peep has lost a sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone, and they'll come home. If Mary, Jack Sprat, and Jack Horner haven't eaten them already.
You're done. I don't want to hear another peep out of you.
All right, you do one.
Me? You know, wait a second. That's a good idea. Why not just do that in the beginning? This way you can't ruin it.
Right, go ahead. Do something nice.
I'll do my favorite.
Okay.
Peas porridge hot.
Mm-hmm.
Peas porridge cold.
Mm-hmm.
Peas porridge in the pot. 9 days old.
P.U., that porridge must have stunk!
There's a new comedy album, as you know, sweeping the country. It's very amusing. It's called 2,000 Years with Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. Well, now here now is Carl Reiner about to interview the 2,000-year-old man in modern clothing, Mel Brooks. Let's have a nice hand. Good evening. It does sound incredible, I know, to believe that this man is 2,000 years old, but he spent the last few days at a medical center, and they say it is altogether possible that he is 2,000 years old. Sir, is it true? Are you really 2,000 years old?
Not yet. Don't make me older than I am. I'll first be. January the 16th, I'll be 2,000 years old. Young, how we say young, not to curse ourselves with death. You know?
I see. Yeah. Well, sir, I must say that you really don't look 2,000.
Well, I take care of myself, sir.
Well, I know you do. But I think we'd all believe it more if you had some way to authenticate it. Do you have a birth certificate?
We didn't have that then.
You didn't have birth?
No, we didn't have. 2,000 years ago, we didn't have nothing. We didn't have ballpoint pens.
You didn't have?
We weren't even up to ink, darling.
Well, you didn't...
No, we had nothing.
You were primitive in those days.
We were primitive. We were atavistic. We were, what is the word I'm searching for? Dumb. We were very dumb, yes.
You knew...
Stupid.
Yes, you knew very, very little in those days, in other words. You knew nothing about the world and how it turned.
We didn't know anything. We used to sit in little groups huddled together, and we would look up in the sky. We didn't know where the sun was. And we'd go, whoa, hot, whoa, yellow, hot.
Well, what did you think it was?
We thought it was a fire.
A fire?
Yes. We tried to put it out for 200 years.
How did you...
Celsius, but we couldn't reach it.
Yeah, well,
it's very high up.
It's very high up there. Can I get personal with you?
Certainly. Because... That's your job.
Yes. Sir, have you ever been married?
I have been married over 200 times.
200 times?
Yes.
Do you remember all your wives?
Well, I remember one. Well, Shirley, the fourth one, Shirley.
You remember only her?
Yes, she had a nice complexion, yes.
Well, what about the rest of them? Do you remember them?
They're a vague blur of yelling and screaming.
just...
Take a shower. Why don't you eat? Why don't you kill an animal? I want a mink coat. Go out of the cave. Get out of the cave.
Oh, sir. What was there about Shirley that...
Shirley used to call me darling.
She was the only one?
She was the only one who called me darling.
Oh.
Yes.
You must have been very happy with
no,
her.
No, we broke it up.
Why?
Because she called everybody darling.
Oh, see.
Yes.
That's very disturbing.
A couple of fellas hang around the cave. You don't need that.
Yes, sir, I know.
It's a shame for the neighbors.
Yes, please, sir. Sir, I'm afraid to ask this next question.
Yes.
Do you have any children?
I have over 1,500 children, and not one comes to visit me on a Sunday.
Yes. That's awful, sir.
Captain, how
yes,
are you?
Yes. Obviously, there are people who understand you.
800 boys and 700 girls. Out of 700 daughters, one should send me a card. I a pop. I don't pop.
You mean they don't?
Should get a pop from them.
Well, maybe somebody
nothing,
will see
well, let them eat cake and drink wine and dance. That's their
well,
job.
That's a shame, sir, that they don't.
Well,
sir,
that's children.
I know, sir. Yes. You've lived a long time. You must
I
have known.
Have.
You must have known yes. a lot of great people in history.
I have known the near great and the great, and almost great and losers.
Well, sir, yes. I would like to know about one particular lady, Marie Antoinette.
Oh,
she's always fascinating.
Marie Antoinette, what a cutie.
Did you know
what
her?
What a cutie.
You knew Marie Antoinette?
Oh, I went with her, dummy.
You
I
went
with her, yeah.
No.
We used to go to dances together.
Marie Antoinette?
She had a big wig with powder. I used to sneeze all night from the powder on the wig.
You yeah. went with Marie
Antoinette? I knew her well.
Well, there's something I want to know about her.
Yes.
Is it true that when the people of France were yelling for food and screaming
yes.
for food and bread, she said, let them eat cake. Is that true?
Yes. I remember her saying it. I remember it was on a Thursday. A Thursday morning, she came out on the balcony and grabbed the iron, and she said, let them eat cake. Eat cake.
So she really was a cruel, mean, heartless person.
No. She owned a bakery. She was pushing the cake.
I see.
A rich woman. She had pastry.